welcome to Highly Questionable. We've got two basketball experts here, Pablo Torre and Izzy Gutierrez. I am not one of the basketball experts. Unfortunately, we've got a baseball question and a couple of football questions. Let's get started.
I was waiting for the insult, and there it was.
Did the Astros make things better today?
What a bleep show, man. You thought that this team was good at baseball, and it is, and good at cheating, and it was. How can it be this bad at public relations? This was insincere. It was afraid. They had months to prepare for this. And then their owner is out there making a fool of himself because he's combative and he's arrogant and he won't acknowledge that they got a competitive advantage from one of the great cheating scandals of our times. Listen to this.
Mr. Crane, what do you have to say to the Yankees and teams that you beat in 17?
Listen, the Yankees have had a few comments out there. You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. Basically, you know, as the commissioner said in his report, he's not going to go backwards. It's hard to determine how it impacted the game, if it impacted the game, and that's where we're going to leave it.
Jim, sign stealing is a distinct advantage for the hitter. So how is it that it doesn't affect competition? So then what are you guys apologizing for?
We're apologizing because we broke the rules.
But isn't sign stealing a distinct advantage for the hitter? So doesn't it automatically impact competition?
It could possibly do that. It could possibly not.
And then you didn't hear the public relations person saying right there, all right, we're going to wrap this up right here. I can't have the paycheck looking like a fool anymore. It is much harder to do this in front of cameras than it is to just push around Rob Manfred and make him in his statement, put at the very top of that statement that this guy didn't have any responsibility for what it is that was happening there. But Correa is right when he says, we have hurt people's careers. That's the tone that they needed to take here. They didn't take that tone.
It apparently didn't impact the game, and yet it impacts other people's careers. You're right, Dan. They did nothing right here. They had all this time in the world to do this and didn't do anything proper. What in the world could you say that was settled after this press conference? The thing that gets me is, from everything I've read, the players have been granted immunity. You will not get in any further trouble if you just talk to us, and apparently that's what they did. And yet they're still not willing to spill the beans. They're still not willing to make it right with the fans or with the future of baseball, because this will always linger as a potential, hey, they cheated, they didn't deserve this, these players aren't as good. You had Aroldis Chapman sitting here talking about, oh, Altuve did something suspicious, and I'll just leave it at that. It's going to linger forever if they don't come out and say something more specific, and they've been given the freedom to do so. So it seems like they're just hanging on to this, hey, everybody else was doing it, and we just got caught mentality, and that's not what you want to hear from any of these guys.
But let's be clear about this, too. What we are doing here is also being theater critics. We wanted good theater, and they were just very bad actors. Like, do we have the video of Alex Bregman, one of the more likable guys on the Astros? You will see him as he begins to speak, him doing the thing where he is, like, speaking like this. He is tenting his hands like Mr. Burns. Like, this is a very mechanical thing that he should not really be trusted in that way. And so, he is a bad actor, and all of these guys, right? Jim Crane, when he's describing his guys, his players, he was saying in his own prepared remarks, they were not given the proper guidance. As if they were middle schoolers, as if they were like infants. And so by infantilizing these guys, he's trying to absolve them. But the entire time, all of us know, all of them know, that this was something that was player driven. That was the big revelation from the MLB report. This is from the players, and the players here, because baseball and the Astros are aligned in this incentive, on the business incentive, they don't want the players to be punished. Because once you begin to do that, then you ask all of the questions about who else in baseball should be punished. And meanwhile, you have all these guys on a podium who can't actually tell the truth because they're not incentivized to.
All right, so we say this a lot on this show, say it in a lot of places, but it's absolutely true this time, so bear with me, guys. Houston, we have a problem.
No, don't do that. Wow. No! No! Wow. No!
But
no,
it's true.
Izzy, you're better than that. You're better than
No, I'm not. Not really.
I was trying to come up with something with astrology, and Izzy, thank you for just taking all the pressure
Sometimes
off.
Sometimes the easy way is the way to go, Pablo.
Woof. Woof.
Do you think LASIK eye surgery will fix Jameis's interception problem?
Some decent jokes floating around. Here's Stugat said on the radio show he now has 30-30 vision because he's a quarterback who had 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions. And now it is being said, and the single dumbest thing I've heard at the position since people said that Vinny Testaverde was throwing interceptions because he was colorblind, that his nearsightedness is something that's going to affect him going forward, and he might correct it here. His biggest problem is he's reckless with the football in an age when you cannot be. He's got more interceptions in 5 seasons than Aaron Rodgers does in 15. What he needs to do is simply eliminate the turnovers. I don't think surgery is going to help him with that.
But LASIK is kind of this PED. We talk about LASIK like a standard procedure, and it is that. But it's also literally fixing someone's vision. If that's not performance enhancing in the way that any steroid is, I don't know what is. So Jameis Winston, you can legally do this. Go and try it. Except for the fact that I don't want you to change. You may be a better quarterback on the back end of this, but you are of no value to me in that way. I want you to be the guy who is the most interceptable quarterback in the NFL since you entered the league. I want you to be the guy who looks like he has both himself and the opposing defense on his fantasy team at the same time. Because look at Jameis Winston playing quarterback throughout the years. He is squinting constantly, and that is not just a tick. It is because he looks like he is a guy trying to desperately get the results of an eye exam correct. So he's just guessing? And I don't want him to ever stop guessing. Never stop guessing. It doesn't make any sense to me, but never stop.
The only thing I could maybe explain away is his whole I'm ballin' comment, and it's because he couldn't actually see the stats in front of him, because I don't actually think that having this nearsightedness affects his ability to see his opponents versus his own team. As somebody who's played quarterback horribly and has 20/20 vision, I can tell you it doesn't really help very much. But I do think that it's curious. This is not a new problem for him. He's had this situation going on for 6+ years now, and he's never addressed it. So I wonder now if this is just him perhaps taking the sport and the game that much more seriously, or if it's just a ploy because, you know, he just threw 30 interceptions last year and wants to change his perception.
Let's answer this, though, in the most positive possible way. A guy who threw 30 interceptions, but threw more than 45 interceptable passes. Let's just say that this does work, and this was the problem. How stupid has everybody been for the 5 years been watching him run around out there if this was the problem all along? Because we certainly had proof in college that he was having trouble seeing.
So Bruce Arians was asked, well, what has he been doing without the LASIK? And he said, well, sometimes he wears goggles in practice. And so, A, I want goggles Jameis Winston more than I want LASIK Jameis Winston. But also, does he just have that phobia that some people have about their eyeballs and contact lenses? Like, I don't mind. Like, I can poke my eyeball right here. Like, poke, poke, poke. Yeah. People are freaked out by this, but I got contacts.
That is freaky.
I'm cool. Like,
it's
right? It's fine.
It's weird. No, it's weird.
It shouldn't be that weird, Dan.
It's weird analysis, and it's not journalism. No. And I feel like it's the first thing you said in that segment where we actually learned anything.
I hope I wash my hands.
Should the Lions trade Matthew Stafford and try to draft Tua?
Okay, this is a report from Bernie Smilovitz. He has been working in the Detroit area on television since 1986, so he's got some credibility. But not as much as the Lions lack in credibility. This is a franchise that has won one playoff game since 1957. One. They've swallowed everybody, okay? You've got Calvin Johnson retiring. You've got Barry Sanders, all-time greats, quitting on this franchise. And now Bob Quinn, the general manager, is saying this report is 100% false. I wish he'd said, because GMs never do this, it was 100% true. Then we'd have a great thing to talk about, but we don't because the salary cap is a problem here. You can't really do anything with this until after 2021. And then there's the added bonus of he's been pretty good for them, and Tua might be better, but Stafford has worked for them. He just hasn't won because nobody can win there.
Well, Bob Quinn did use multiple exclamation points, so that just tells you he's serious there. But it is the Lions, and even the Lions won't give up $32 million in dead money, which is what would happen if they were to move Stafford. So it doesn't seem like it's something that they would do. They just extended him recently, and Dan said he has been playing well under this new offensive coordinator. But if you consider the alternative here, drafting Tua, are you saying that I'm going to turn in this quarterback who has been good for me, who still has years ahead of him, for a quarterback with a bad hip that a lot of people have questions about? I'm not sure if anybody's going to make that leap. In Detroit, the quarterback is not necessarily the problem. But the thing that makes me sort of raise an eyebrow is if they were that serious at all about drafting Tua here at this number three spot, because that makes me think, hey, this guy's not hurt. He will have a long and great career at the quarterback position.
This should be a harder question because Matt Stafford played 2 years now with a broken back. The guy had fractured vertebra 2 seasons ago, had to stop playing football in November last year because other parts of his spine were broken. And so that alone makes you think, well, what else could we get for this guy? And Tua Tagovailoa, yes, go investigate that. But the reason this is easy on top of the incompetence of the Lions in the macro sense is that in the micro sense, there is a conflict between the long-term interest of this team and the short-term interests of job security. This GM and Matt Patricia are on the hot seat. They need a win. They are 9-22 in their last 2 seasons. They finished last year with 3 wins, lost 9 in a row. So the owner of the team is saying, we need you to win now. And the number one thing a GM cares about is his own job security. Nothing else, just himself.
That is some sports analysis right there. In one box, you got a hot seat. In another box, you've got a raised eyebrow. Look out, people.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
It's cold here. This is what we do. We don't need any wimps whining about how cold it is.
Time to play the game that's America's sweetheart. Do you question?
He is much, much suaver than both of us, Pablo. You give us topics and events, we question them. Is it suaver or more suave? Suaver? More suave?
Do you question if Boban will get sick of this gig?
In a segment I like to call Fun with Circus Freaks, we showed you a video the other day where a ball was behind the basket, and so the 7'3 Porzingis here, he's 7'3. You're not probably going to meet someone that height your entire life. He uses that stick, and it doesn't work. And then the one guy in the league you can go get happens to sit on their bench, so a little bit taller than 7'3", and Boban comes and does that, and everyone laughs, and that's, you know, Boban's a good spirit. But let's see what happened here recently. What happened last night? Here you go.
Again.
Again. Here we go. Oh, and there's tiny, tiny J.J. Barea, another circus freak coming out.
Well, I contend he should just carry J.J. Barea instead of the broom next time if he's going to give him a hard time about this.
Wow.
Yes.
And what happens if Boban's in the game here? Do we embarrass him and have him grab the broom if he's actually in the game, or do you get somebody else to do it in that scenario?
How about this? Can we get a longer broom? Can we just get a longer broom? And also, can we please stop referring to Boban Marjanovic as a circus freak? And maybe it's because I'm the only one here, Dan Le Batard, who has blurbed the book of a 7'4" human being. Shout out to Mark Eden and his autobiography. We went skiing together once. It was delightful.
What are you doing?
But you guys don't respect the plight of the 7-footer, man. These guys walk around, their heads hit ceiling fans. They get lacerated. They have to build special toilets. They have to get special clothes. And meanwhile, you, Dan Le Batard, are calling them a circus freak? Can we just throw up any photo of Dan from the archive that establishes that actually Dan is the circus freak?
Are there any of these normal people? 7'4"? 7'9"? Look, Boban's ears are larger than both of your heads.
Do you question if this is something for Wilbon to take pride in?
I've got to admit, at ESPN, I enjoy sort of the bumper car sparks of our show, making fun of other shows, making fun of the big, important ESPN personalities. And for a decade now, we have just crushed Mike Wilbon. And he has no idea because he doesn't watch this show. And he's too busy hobnobbing with celebrities to find out. But tell me we can crush him here. The All-Star Game is coming to his Chicago. What happened?
All right, all you people coming to Chicago for the All-Star Weekend from California and the Mid-Atlantic and South Florida. It's cold here. This is what we do. We don't need any wimps whining about how cold it is. So bring your can of Goose, bring your mittens and your gloves and your long scarves. It's going to be cold here. It's February in Chicago. This is what we do, okay? You see it snowing now? It's going to be 2 degrees. That's yummy. We're not going to cancel school for the whole week like Washington, D.C. would do.
Oh, love of God.
It's going to be cold. Oh, my God. Be fighting. Bring me heavy artillery.
No!
Wow.
What was it, the internet, or is it just age that did this to Mike Wilbon? Because I talked to Mike the other day. He was in Miami. Such a pleasant human being.
Oh, so
nothing
great.
Makes him angry, but
that's
then
right.
When he gets online, he's just yelling at people all the time.
That's
why?
Exactly right. That's how you get old on television.
Can someone please give Mike Wilbon, like, a show on the Weather Channel? Because the last time we saw him doing this, he was patrolling the streets of his luxurious neighborhood in the Washington, D.C. area, yelling at literal snowflakes on the ground. Not the metaphorical millennial snowflakes, literally yelling at the snowflakes.
What the
Weather
name
Channel,
of that show?
Please.
The name of that show, Your Soft Snowflake.
Highly questionable. This broadcast from the Clevelander Hotel on beautiful South Beach, Miami.
Time to play the game that hopes Dan has a really good Valentine's Day for his very first Valentine's Day as a married man. See? Oh, no.
Oh,
you give
man.
Us topics and events. That was very nice, Pablo. Thank you. I appreciate you reminding me that it's Valentine's Day. That's a good thing to know.
Yeah.
Tonight at 8 p.m., Thunder and Pelicans.
The Pelicans got fun fast, right? The ratings were down at least in part because we had all of these Pelican games that didn't have Zion. And now you see what all the fuss is about with Zion, so I'm going to enjoy watching him. But let's check out some Pelican sloppiness here. They smoked the Trailblazers.
Whoa.
That is. Wow. That is amazing in confidence
this isn't
and
over
athleticism.
Yet. How did... What?
Yes.
They were playing 4-on-5 for a majority of this video. 2-on-5. Where is the fifth guy? Finally, there's Dame Lillard, the fifth guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the defense the Trailblazers have been playing all year long while Hassan Whiteside flexes. Izzy, are you intrigued?
Absolutely, and it's not just a Zion Williamson thing. I really want to see Lonzo Ball and his hair. If you haven't seen it yet, just trust me. Everybody else is out there playing checkers. Lonzo Ball's hair is playing chess.
Wow, he's our hair authority. Pablo, how about you? Are you intrigued?
I am intrigued, even though that felt like an extended subtweet by Izzy at me, because
really
Izzy
was.
Has this thing
no,
going on,
I mean,
and I'm
too.
Still doing
me
the thing
too.
I've been doing
he's
for 10 years.
He's got beautiful hair. It's annoying.
But I am in on this because that whole play felt like a metaphor for what needed to happen for this team to get via ping pong balls bouncing around Zion Williamson the year after Anthony Davis left. And the person who's probably most infuriated, by the way, is Brandon Ingram. Because apparently when Zion's on the floor and Ingram's off, they're like better by about 50 points with Zion without the other guy from Duke. So sorry, Brandon, about that.
But seriously, Lonzo Ball's hair. Go look at it.
In syndication... Wheel of Fortune.
I always say yes to this because many years ago we got Pat Sajak in trouble. He told the story on here about the time that he and Vanna did, after a few margaritas, Wheel of Fortune. And then all of a sudden Entertainment Tonight and everyone else is spinning headlines of drunk at the wheel. And it was terrible and we had to send him margaritas as an apology. But here's an amazing puzzle solve. Look at this.
P. C.
Yes.
D.
And your vowel.
Oh.
All right, let's see what we get out of all this.
Amazing. This is amazing.
Yeah, okay. What are you doing is the category. It looks daunting to me, but, you know, you have 10 seconds. Keep talking as you use letterboard. Good luck.
Something a juicer.
How?
Buying a juicer?
Of course, it's an easy
puzzle. Oh, my God.
Get over here.
It's 2020.
You got
37. We're televising Hangman in the age of streaming, and it still has success. Izzy, are you intrigued?
I mean, I am so intrigued. First of all, I was angry. Nothing there helps her. The category, what are you doing? How is that a hint? What are you doing? And then buying a juicer. I mean, that's just amazing. I would watch that a million times.
How about you? That seems excessive. How about you, Pablo?
I am very in on this because that lady clearly had juicer on the mind. She went to juicer right. immediately. And Dan, yeah. I received for my wedding gift from you a juicer. And I know the impacts of it. I'm also somebody who thinks about juicers a lot because it keeps me regular. All of which is to say is that
too
woman,
much information.
She is winning on every level. If that's her first go-to.
And we are all losing because of your regularity.
Unbelievable.
But true.
That's all the time we have for today. That was a fun one. Check out Izzy Gutierrez on your NBA sidelines. Pablo Torre, high noon, 4 o'clock Eastern. Do that thing you do where you say thank you in a, like, incredibly 1950s sort of way.
Thank you.
No. You know what? Since Izzy overpromised there on television, let's go ahead and give him what he said, because he's like, what's the big deal, Dan? I would watch that a million times. All right, give it to him.
All right.
A million times. I'm going to leave.
Come on. Let's go.
P. Uh-huh. C.
Yes.
D. P.
You've already left, haven't you?
C.
Oh, man.
Yes. Just this isn't the part that I wanted to watch. 99,999 more
C?
After this
yes.
one.
D, P, C.
Yes.
You are trapped in eternal hell. For the
and
rest of time, you must watch this.
P, C.
Yes. Yes. Oh, they're in Florida in this taping. I did not know that.
And your vowel.
P.
You think we'll be done before I have to do around
C,
the horn?
Yes.
D.